True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. We've been spending so much time today talking about Luca Light. Neokalis of Dallas for Virginia Tech, who is this unbelievable 22-year-old freshman out of Greece. But right now, we're going to move from the college ranks to the NBA. It's time for the Fast Break with AWOD on the Fan.
We're going on a Fast Break with AWOD. From buzzer-beating shots to the best highlight plays from around the league, every clutch moment.
From three.
The all-stars of the league. We're out in transition. It's a breakaway.
It's good at the buzzer.
It's the Fast Break and AWOD talking all things NBA.
Joining us right now on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline, it's our buddy Justin Fensterman. What's going on, Fensty?
AWOD, great being with you, man. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good here. And, you know, I think we should start here with the freak, the alien that is Victor Wembanyama, and the Spurs start to the season. How far can they go this year?
I mean, if everything holds up and they're able to stay healthy, and especially being healthy towards the end of the season, they should be able to go on a deep run. Now, do they have the maturity yet? A lot of young players, as we've seen from teams in the past, it's almost like they need to go through those motions and just gain that playoff experience against some of the powerhouses out west. So I think this Spurs team at this point, you can get them to the second round, and then it's more next year as long as everyone holds up. That's what we're focused on. But the defense has been outstanding, and no one's been able to stop Victor Wembanyama. He's matured, and he's gotten a lot more aggressive in the post.
Tell me your thoughts on the least surprising firing in the history of the league with Nico Harris getting fired. I mean, everybody saw this coming.
I'm not surprised by it. I'm not surprised by it at all, AWOD. The whole thing was an absolute disaster here. And then giving Cooper Flagg, even getting the opportunity to get Cooper Flagg, how was that going to be able to give the fans of the Dallas Mavericks something to really cheer for unless he was the next LeBron James? And clearly, Cooper Flagg, as skilled as he is, he's going to need a little bit of time to develop as they figure out where he best fits. They didn't think about that beforehand. So we'll have to see how it goes with Kyrie Irving coming back. I still can't get over them trading Luka Doncic. And it's not all Nico Harris, and it's also his boss. They didn't want to give the entire Mavs organization, didn't want to give Luka Doncic that supermax. I don't know why you don't give him the contract. And if, let's just say, 3 years in, it's not working out anymore, then just about everybody in the league at that point will want to trade for him. So the whole move was a mess. And now they're talking about Anthony Davis possibly getting traded midseason. It's a disaster.
You mentioned Cooper Flagg, and, you know, not that he's struggling, but I think not as good as people thought he would be right away. VJ Edgecombe, though, rookie of the year, right?
He's looking great so far. And the problem is, though, a lot of these, remember, Awad, it's very stat-based now, I'd say, these awards in the last 10 years. And the problem is Joel Embiid takes up so much of that usage that when you have this team fully healthy, Paul George is going to come back. I wonder if Edgecombe is essentially stuck at the arc, because how many possessions do they have to go around between Maxey and Embiid alone, let alone adding a third or fourth guy? So I think right now what we're seeing from him is excellent, and Embiid will sit out at games. But we have to remember that when this team is at full strength, it's going to hit everybody's usage. It's going to hit everybody's shots. So that's why I'm very excited what we're seeing. But we have to temper our expectations until this team is at full strength.
Fenty, if I was a Sixers fan, and thank God I'm not, because that city sucks, but if I was, I would be advocating to trade Joel Embiid. Go all in with the young two of Maxey and Edgecombe and try to get something in return to build around the youth.
I can't say that's a bad idea, because this guy has not been able to hold up. The reason why the Sixers team has not really been able to go on any type of playoff run is because this guy can barely play. We're lucky at this point we get 50 games out of Joel Embiid, and it's clear that he's still not 100%. There's something going on with his knee. That's why he's constantly getting checked out. Not even the Sixers can hide it anymore. So what the question is, what type of value can he bring back? Because he is damaged goods, and a lot of those teams are going to be looking at, especially the teams that have those draft assets who are probably in the middle and towards the bottom of the league. Well, like the Sixers, are they going to want to invest the next 5 to 7 years into this guy? That's a big time question to ask. So I can't say you're wrong, Awad. Even though we know Joel Embiid is one of the toughest competitors on the floor, one of the hardest guys to stop, he's not on the floor much anymore. So if they get rid of him for a lot of draft compensation and a rising star, I think that's fine.
Check out Justin Fensterman on Twitter at Fensty Sports, fantasy guru site, lead NBA analyst, and SiriusXM Fantasy as well. We're on the fast break with Awad and Fensty talking NBA. Let's talk NBA television. And Sundays, NBC, and then Tuesdays, Peacock, and Wednesdays, ESPN. Are you enjoying all the different avenues to watch NBA basketball this year?
I wish we could all go back to the basic cable model and where everybody can just get NBA League Pass and just be very happy. But these are not the times we live in. So like you just explained right there, it's a complete roadmap. Like I'm playing Super Mario World, having to get over these obstacles to just watch basketball and sports in general, Awad. It's all over the place, and I know that these services need to make money, but it's just too much to follow already, and it's getting very ridiculous, and it's not going to stop.
Fenty, I watched on Peacock the Pistons and Wizards battle, and Washington had a 7-point lead with a minute left. It went to overtime. In overtime, they had a 5-point lead with a minute left. Detroit won. What does that tell you about the Eastern Conference? The Wizards are the worst team in the conference. The Pistons are the best. They should have won that game.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely very interesting right there with what you just explained. And yeah, you could say that the Pistons were, I believe the Pistons were missing three guys, if not more. But the bottom line is you still had Cade Cunningham there. You still had Jalen Duren. So they should have taken care of him. I will say this about the Wizards, and I'll say this. When it comes to someone who's been able to bring them positive offense most nights, Alex Saar has toughened up a little bit, Awad.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying he's the savior of the franchise just yet, but one of the things I'm noticing about him, even in tougher matchups against bigger bigs, he's still able to get through, because then he spaces himself out and goes to the elbow and takes some shots. But we've seen more of an inside game from him. So that's the one area of encouragement when it comes to the Wizards, and also Johnson's three-point shooting ability. But Alex Saar has toughened up, and we're able to see him score beyond just squaring up from the perimeter or the elbow.
Yeah, I prematurely called him a bust after Summer League. For some reason, he was awful in the Summer League and has had a lot of confidence this season. You know, although the team's just 1-11, he's absolutely been the biggest bright spot, and he's the guy with the most superstar potential based on his size and his skills. So that's been certainly nice to see for the Washington Wizards. And I had multiple people reach out to me and saying, yeah, they're awful, but this is the most fun they've had watching Wizards basketball in quite some time, because you're starting to see the vision of Michael Winger and Will Dawkins. Is there anybody stopping OKC from repeating, though?
man, as of right now, it's very hard to see it, especially with the injuries that occurred around the league. I want to give love to Houston, but we're seeing without Van Vliet areas of struggle for them, but they're a very solid defensive team. I want to give Denver some love too. So right now, really, I know it's kind of what we're seeing in the standings, but outside of Denver, because Jokic is just a nightmarish matchup for anyone, OKC's doing all this, A-Watt. They don't even have Jalen Williams. They're essentially beyond Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, their second key player. They don't even have them in their 12-1. That's all you need to know about this team. I don't think anybody's stopping them.
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you right there. 10 games into the season or so, what's worked out better, Luka in LA or KD in Houston?
So far, I mean, from a record standpoint, ultimately, it's pretty much the same between the two. KD was good about this situation with him in Houston. They've got a gigantic starting lineup that they put out there. So KD doesn't need to be the guy every night. Yeah, there are going to be some nights like nights against the Wizards where he's going to shoot more. But outside of that, he just needs to utilize his big body on defense against some of those smaller guards. And also because that's how big this lineup is. And on the offensive end, sometimes they'll be shooting, sometimes they'll be a decoy and just setting up all the other bigs. So that's what's good there. With Luka Doncic, considering, all things considered, we haven't seen LeBron James. He's starting to ramp up work at all. But where this Lakers team would be if they didn't have him, it just shows how deadly of a guy he is on both sides of the ball. Because as great as he is on offense, he looks a little sleeker, everything, he's just as committed on defense. So I got to give the edge to Luka, but KD's role now is starting to get smaller, and I think that's very good for him, especially with the wear and tear.
What's the biggest storyline in the NBA currently that's not getting talked about enough?
I think one of the biggest storylines, beyond Detroit looking great, because they don't even have Malik Beasley, a sharpshooter from last year. You talking about San Antonio, but I think one of the biggest storylines here is just how deep this Atlanta Hawks team is. Because, A-Watt, I was looking at some numbers the other day because I was trying to see if maybe I could look at Ray Dray a few little pop skis. You know how it is. You want to have a good night and everything like that. But I noticed with Atlanta, numbers were down. They play fast, but I've noticed over the last five games, even with Trae Young out, this team has been playing some of the best defense in the NBA. You're wondering why they're the fifth seed with no Trae Young right now. They're deep, and they've proven that other guys can step in and get it done and help out with the scoring. So I think Atlanta playing top five defense right now, it's kind of snuck up on us, despite not having Trae Young, is very eye-opening.
Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting because I kind of thought that Atlanta was in the situation that Washington was in with Beal and Wall, where, all right, they can be a 7-4 seed every year, but can they actually break through and get to the conference championship? But I think they're off to a good start this year, and we'll see how far it can take them, right?
No, absolutely, and that's the thing. They don't need Kristaps Porzingis to do a lot. They can use him just like Boston did. They've got multiple bigs. They've got talent all over this roster, and they even paid for a bench, which I thought was very impressive too. So you put Young back in that mix right there, and they can keep up this defense. The Eastern Conference is a little bit open right now. Maybe you see them in the Eastern Conference Finals.
With all the work that you're doing with Fantasy Guru and SiriusXM, how much are you talking about the NBA case that's going on right now with Chauncey Billups and everyone?
So to be honest with you, A-Wad, with what I do, which is writing up some of these plays and also DFS content, I'm not talking a lot about it. We know it's there. We know it's now happening in baseball, too, so it's not just basketball. But A-Wad, at the end of the day, you know, for me, being a content guy, there's no need for me to include it in anything I do, because what I'm focused on is who's going to be bettering each other when it comes to these teams and these players. So focusing on the matchups at hand and writing up plays and which teams I think are going to be awesome, it really keeps away from what's going on outside right now. So
yeah,
there's no way to link it. And at the end of the day, man, with the content I do, yeah, it is something to think about. Yeah, it is something that is a reality, and now you're seeing it in multiple sports. But while there's still areas where we can write up content, man, people like us can still enjoy the NBA despite what's going on right now.
Yeah, and you mentioned it. You're doing your player props? Well, so is the Gambino family. Can you believe this?
Yes. Yes, it's me and Carlo Gambino's great-grandson. We're doing the props.
Fancy, appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much.
Thank you, AWOD.
You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Welcome back.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for VCU basketball. You can hear every game right here on 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, we had a nice boys' night out with our voice of God, Zach McHugh, the program director, Odyssey president Bennett Zier, and Michael Phillips last night at the Stew. We all met at the Commonwealth Room ahead of my pregame coverage that you can hear right here on 910 The Fan. Michael joins us right now. We call this segment Crosstalk on The Fan.
If I could just have your attention.
It's Crosstalk with Adam Epstein and Michael Phillips on The Fan. It's like that one 90s movie that everybody loved. What's the name of that movie? It's not Crosstalk, but it sounds like Crosstalk. It's Crosstalk on The Fan. Oh, Face Off with Travolta and Nick Cage. But this is Crosstalk.
Michael, what's up, man? How are you?
Well, it was nice of you to get me into the Commonwealth Club. As you know, I'm not fancy or distinguished enough to get there on my own. This is a nice treat to be there with some distinguished company.
Yeah, it was a good time and ended up being a good game. And I mean, I've seen enough to say I don't think they lose to Utah State if Lazar Djokovic was healthy. He is such a game changer.
No, I completely agree with that. It was great to see him putting in, what was it, 30 minutes last night. It was a pretty healthy workload there. Leads me to believe we're good in terms of long-term concerns, which is great to see. And my takeaway from the night, loved Phil Martelli getting that technical, getting the crowd riled up. I thought that was very appropriate for the moment.
Yeah, and to me, it just made so much sense. It was one of the worst calls I've ever seen in person. We all watched the replay afterwards, could not believe that an offensive foul was called when a defensive player initiated the contact and what should have been a textbook and one went the other way. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it was clearly a missed call,
Everybody clearly noticed. Everybody was riled up. It was also a time and space in the game where he could afford to give away 2 points on the ball. I thought it was a great time to send a message that he was going to stand up for his guys.
Yeah, and also, you know, VCU lost their composure in that moment there. It wasn't just the coach. I know Jadarian Tracy was upset with a few calls right after that, but they kind of regrouped at like the under 12 media timeout and really got back to playing their style of basketball. Michael, if you've been listening, I spent quite a few segments here talking about the superstar at Virginia Tech in Nicholas Abdalis and how Hokies fans that are usually just diehard supporters of the football team need to be paying attention because you might have the best player since Del Curry.
Well, look, the Providence game was fantastic. That going overtime, beating a really good Big East team, got 32 out of Neo. That was fantastic. I was equally impressed by last night. You got a St. Joe's team that's no joke. They're going to be competitive in A-10 play this year. KenPom's not everything, but I think they're a pretty trusted source. They projected that to be a 9-point margin last night. The Tech was about 9 points better. They end up winning by 34. Now, that's not all Neo, but that tells you that something's happening there. And I was maybe a little slow to this story. You've been on it since ACC tip-off. I was a little slower to it, but I'm all the way on board now. I see the potential here, and I think it'll be fun to have a little juice in Blacksburg going into the winter.
Yeah, and I was trying to explain this to Stubb, given the fact that he's a Hokies alum here. This kind of thing doesn't ever happen in Blacksburg. Like, you watch this kid play, and you're like, how is he not on Kentucky, UCLA, right? LSU, Duke, UNC. It's the relationship that Chester Frazier, the assistant coach, who came back to be on Mike Young's staff here, might be the next coach in waiting, to be honest, but he had a relationship with Abdallah's agent, who happens to also rep Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, it's pretty good, isn't it? I mean, if you were to say, give me a Virginia Tech basketball fact, I'd say the most famous thing was when they missed out on a future superstar in declining to take Steph Curry onto the roster. I think that's what they've been known for, so it'd be good to reframe the program.
Yeah, so if you're a Hokies basketball fan or a Hokies fan, it's absolutely worth watching. And they will play Charlotte on, I think it's Sunday, and then they've got a matchup with Coach Phil Martelli Jr.'s old team in Bryant coming up on November 19th. But the big story, I think, is that the Commanders are in Madrid, and Dan Quinn will take over as defensive coordinator. From your time covering the league here, I've been talking about how difficult I think it's going to be for DQ to also perform his head coaching duties of challenging plays and calling timeouts at the right time in terms of clock management. Your thoughts on him doing both jobs?
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of precedent for guys doing this, calling the plays and handling the other responsibilities. You delegate a lot of it, and he's going to delegate some of this to Cliff Kingsbury, right, to say, hey, if there's something that needs challenging, if you need a timeout, you got to be in my ear on the headset, right? Usually the head coach has the dual headset switcher, one for offense, one for defense. He's going to have to be on the defense headset the whole game, but he'll give Cliff, you know, the button, the access, whatever it is, that Cliff can join that frequency and be like, yo, EQ, might need a challenge. This might need a timeout here. Come get ready. Hey, we got a fourth down decision. I need you in on this. I think you're just delegating more to Cliff Kingsbury. Now, this is where you feel good about having a former head coach as your offensive coordinator. It's certainly nothing that's outside of his ability to conduct those responsibilities, to do those things. He should be more than capable of handling that. And I think it will move smoothly because of that experience, right? If you had a young offensive coordinator, somebody who maybe was a little more timid in terms of, you know, chain of command kind of things. But I think Cliff will be vocal enough to get everything he needs to get on game day.
Michael Phillips with us here for Crosstalk as we're previewing Sunday morning's game, 9:30 a.m. kickoff. 6:30 is when the pregame coverage begins here on Richmond's home for the Commanders, 9:10 the Fan. Washington's 3-7, Miami's 3-7. Washington has a backup quarterback in Marcus Mariota. Is this still a game they should win?
Yeah, it is. You know, tricky as that is to say for a team that's the underdog, I think because DQ made the switches this week, I think that's a statement that he thinks this is a winnable game, and thus we'll grade him on that on Monday. If he had not done anything and at that Monday press conference said, I understand the fans are mad, I understand this is a historically bad stretch, but just know we're about to get on a plane to Madrid. I can't change everything right now. We will reevaluate everything during the bye week, right? Because that was his stance Sunday after the game. When he addressed me and the other media members in the room, it was, hey, after the bye week, I am going to really dig in. We're going to get this right. And then on Monday, he changes to, actually, I'm going to be the defensive coordinator. And I think, as riled up as everybody is and as hot as the phone lines are, I think everybody would have understood I'm not firing Joe Witt seconds before we get on a plane to Madrid and changing everything. But by doing that, I think he makes the statement, I think I can turn some things around this week, and I plan on judging him accordingly.
Do you want the team to win this game?
Yes.
You're not in team tank or anything?
No. Like, I will get there. Don't worry. we talked about that the other day. Like, if they have two to play and they're still sitting on three wins, I'll be right there on team tank. The draft pick at that point becomes immensely valuable. But they have so many games left. Seven games left. I think you're going to have games with Jaden left. And you better believe I want to win those games. I think not having the second round pick makes it less valuable to have great draft position, because that's historically around with a pretty strong gradient as well, in terms of, the 33rd pick is significantly better than that 64th pick. But it doesn't matter. You're not playing that game this year. I will get there. Don't worry. I can get there. Just not now.
What's so interesting, and this sucks for Commanders fans, because I just want to be in the hunt graphic. Miami will probably be in that damn graphic on Sunday at 3-7, because right now the 5-4 Jacksonville Jaguars have that final spot. Miami with a win is absolutely in the hunt. Can't say the same thing about Washington in the NFC, and that's a killer.
Weirdly, they could lose and still be in second place in the NFC East, I think, without checking the numbers offhand. It is a competitive race to the bottom with the Cowboys and Giants right now.
Yeah. And so that's what's so frustrating about this, is that I want them to turn it around, but, 10 wins, which is still possible, probably is not going to be a playoff spot in the NFC, given the fact you do not have a tiebreaker over the Bears, don't have a tiebreaker over the Packers.
Yeah, but also it would feel a lot better in terms of how we felt about the coaching staff, how we felt about it. Like, that would be a game changer in terms of how everybody feels going into the offseason. I understand what you're saying about the playoffs. It would still be a big morale booster if Jaden came back, if they rolled off a few wins, and you could say, whatever happened was weird, but all right, these guys have it under control. I think we're still in the point of rooting for that. The thing that would bother me, if we're doing things that would bother me, is if these guys limp in at like 5-12 and still finish second in the freaking NFC East and have to play a second place schedule next year despite not being good.
Yeah, I think I would be so heartbroken if they got to 10-7 and missed out on the playoffs. I don't know if I could take that kind of heartbreak.
If they roll off seven straight, though, we're all like, the dialogue for the offseason changes so much. It goes from like blow up the whole thing to, okay, this is salvageable, which just makes the offseason so much easier for Adam Peters.
Yeah, and back to the defensive side of the ball with Dan Quinn. Miami's not that good of a team here. What are you going to be looking for defensively? And I talked about this before. To me, I don't care about turnovers. That's a fluke. I'm not going to be excited if they have five picks on Tua. To me, third down stops will get me excited.
Oh, no doubt. Give me a little side of explosive plays as well. I am tired of explosive plays, Adam.
That's a big term around here these days. That and Buffalo Nickel, right?
I'd be all right never saying that again.
That's Michael Phillips. MP on the mic can be heard from 10 to 12 noon. I'm AWOD on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday. Yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD here on a thirsty Thursday, November 13th. Feels like it should be a Friday, given the fact I was up late last night with the VCU game, then checking out the Virginia Tech highlights as well. Joining us right now to talk UVA athletics on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline, it's Preston Willett. What's going on, Preston?
What's up, Adam? It does feel like a Friday, doesn't it?
Yeah, and you know what? Who's becoming a UVA athletics fan? It's this guy, AWOD. I was heartbroken for Chandler Morris over the weekend. What is the latest update you can provide for us?
Yeah, I mean, it seemed unfathomable to think that he would be able to recover this quickly, but as things stand right now, I mean, he was at practice on Wednesday. Tony Elliott said the signs were positive, and he's just going through the protocols right now. So, I mean, signs are trending towards him playing on Saturday down at Duke. Of course, you know, he's still got the major hurdle of being cleared by, you know, the team doctors first, you know, coming out of these protocols. But I think it's trending in a positive direction for UVA to have number 4 out there. You'd be more surprised if he wasn't out there, I'll say, at this point.
Oh, really? That's interesting. So the game is November 15th, 3:30. When do you think we will find out an official ruling?
Probably Saturday, right before kickoff. Like,
really?
I said from the get-go last week, just with protocols and everything, it's usually a weak timeline, and so I would suspect first ACC injury report will come out tonight around 8 o'clock, and I think that'll say questionable for him, and then from there it'll probably be questionable again on Friday, and then we'll find out, you know, Friday right before kickoff.
Does Virginia still control their own destiny?
For the most part, yeah. Like, it really comes down to who wins this game between Duke and UVA for who controls their destiny. If Duke wins, the tiebreakers and everything look pretty favorable for them. And if UVA wins, pretty much the same case. There is one situation, I guess, where SMU could actually win a tiebreaker over UVA. But for the most part, whoever wins this game between Virginia and Duke looks like a sure bet to go to Charlotte.
Your thoughts on the initial college football playoff rankings and then the second one. Of course, UVA was on it at first, and then after the loss, not the same.
It seems like they're kind of guessing and piecing this together, what to do with the ACC week by week. I mean, the first time it came out, once you saw like one or two ACC teams kind of bunched up together, you're like, yeah, they're just going to throw them all together. They don't know what to do with the ACC right now, and that's kind of how it played out. UVA was the highest ranked at 14 last week. Now, this week, they fall back to 19, so they didn't ding them that much for the loss against Wake Forest. I know the college football playoff committee chairman said that, you know, they did take into account that Chandler Morris did not play the majority of that game against Wake Forest in that loss. Right now at the ACC, though, it's just, you know, they moved Miami all the way up ahead of Georgia Tech, and it's like, well, why'd you do that if last week you didn't think the resume was good enough? Nothing happened one week that would make you move them all the way up. So it really seems like they're guessing right now as far as what to do with the ACC.
Yeah, there's no respect for the ACC. I mean, that's absolutely the first thing that needs to be said. And I don't understand how the committee is going to keep Notre Dame in over Miami if they both finish with a 10-2 record and Miami has the head-to-head win. Why do you even play the games then, right? Because they're just looking at it and they're saying, yeah, the ACC is a chaos conference. It's not really a P4 anymore. Let's just go with another team. Like, why do you even play the games then? Because Miami won that one head-to-head.
Yeah, and it's funny because they use head-to-heads in some situations, but not in others. Like, UVA has been a spot a bet ahead of Louisville each week because they won the head-to-head. So they value that enough to put UVA ahead of Louisville still, but they don't value it enough to put Miami ahead of Notre Dame, who, when you look at the resumes laid out, like, very similar resumes, and then obviously Miami has the head-to-head. So it seems like, case in point, Miami should be ahead of Notre Dame in the rankings, but there's this fascination with Notre Dame where I don't even think they have a great win this year. Probably their best win is against USC, who is a fringe top 25 team. It's really not that great of a resume outside of the losses that they have, which for some reason they count good losses more than they count good wins in certain situations.
Yeah, I mean, I think the ACC needs to schedule lighter. I think that's what this comes down to. All right, you're not going to put us in. We're going to have four teams go undefeated because all they're going to play is William and Mary and JMU and Coastal and do what Indiana and Oregon have done, who've played absolutely nobody this year except for Penn State, and they're looking at the top couple teams in the college football playoffs. I think the ACC needs to take a step back and say, we're just going to go for having the best overall record rather than these unbelievable resume boosters.
Yeah, it's certainly something that they'll have to think about in the offseason. I think the first kind of, like, wow moment was Indiana dropping UVA in favor of, you know, a series of games against a lesser opponent. And it's like, all right, well, maybe they don't care about these non-conference games as much anymore, especially if you're not going to put weight in one at the beginning of the season. Like, no one's talking about the Miami-Notre Dame game at this point in the year. They only care about what have you done for me lately. So if they're not going to count it as much, yeah, I think it's probably something that Jim Phillips and the ACC office and all these, you know, presidents and athletic directors are going to have to take a look at, is what's the value in it. I know Virginia has some more challenging non-conference games in the years ahead against West Virginia and some other programs, but is it worth it? I think that's something the ACC teams are going to have to take a look at. It's, you know, it feels like the ACC is always caught a little bit behind in these kind of scheduling dynamics.
Yeah, I mean, because Notre Dame's scheduled tough, all right? But you're rewarding them for losing those two tough games because they should have been out of it after that. Now they've worked themselves not just back into it, but to be a top 10 team that completely controls their own destiny. Let's get your preview on UVA at Duke.
Yeah, it's going to be a really interesting one. I think it's going to be tight. I think the line has dropped from 6.5 down to 4.5 now in favor of Duke at home. And, you know, you would figure so with the, you know, two teams kind of at a similar level and Duke being the home team and, you know, kind of the mystery about, is Chandler Morris going to play? Is Daniel Kalen going to play at quarterback for them? I think they have a chance either way, if it's Morris or Kalen, because I think with Kalen, what we saw last week against Wake Forest, well, this is a young quarterback who has not had the first team reps all week. And, you know, he's going to have more first-team reps this week, even with Morris, you know, coming back and practicing starting on Wednesday. I think this Duke defense has a lot of weak points. They have some really strong individual players. Vincent Anthony Jr. is a pass rusher. Chandler Rivers is the cornerback. Really strong individual players, but they just have not put it together as a team. So if UVA can get a little bit more of that ground game going, get some short pass plays going, and getting guys like Trell Harris and Cam Ross out in space and making plays, I think they could put up points just like almost every other team in the ACC has done this year against Duke. On the flip side, this is going to be a big test for this UVA defense that has been playing marvelously better these last five games. Can they continue that against the quarterback and Darian Mensah and this Duke offense, which has a lot of weapons, can get a lot of yards? But their one weak point is in the red zone. Sometimes they just come away with field goals. So if you can do the bend but don't break John Rudzinski-style defense, I think they have a good chance.
Yeah, I mean, Mensa can air it out. He's got 24 passing touchdowns this season. But he's taken quite a few amount of sacks here, and I think that would be key. Mm-hmm. Can the UVA pass rush move him off of his spot? Let's transition here quickly to UVA basketball, who's had a good start to their season.
Yeah, it's been a good start. And like I said at the beginning of the year, like, it's been kind of, do they show the incremental progress week over week? And I think the latest game against Hampton was a good sign of that. And, I mean, the thing that has stuck out to me the most is they just have one of the most fun benches in college basketball right now, bringing off Chance Mallory, the hometown kid who's averaging double digits as a true freshman right now, Jakari White, who has never met a shot he doesn't like and has made a good chunk of them so far this season. And then Ugano Onyensu, talk about a reclamation project. He was left for dead after his transfer didn't work out at Kansas State and, you know, didn't really jive well with Jerome Tang, the coach there. Well, you know, Ryan Odoms has completely turned his game around. Not only is he a great shot blocker, probably one of the best shot blockers in the country, but he's athletic, and now he can shoot threes. He made his first two threes of his career last game against Hampton. So really exciting stuff there, and I think some other players are starting to round into form too. And this is kind of a team that's setting up to be like, it could be a different guy in a given night. Like, we still haven't seen Malik Thomas go off, and I fully expect him to, you know, still be one of their leading scorers by the end of the season.
Yeah, but you're so right about the bench boost, and Coach Odom used that his 2 years at VCU. There's a lot of Joe Bamisil in Jakari from his game, the way he jumps so high on that three-point shot. But yeah, I mean, the bench is exciting, and they've got great starters as well. Next up will be Marshall this weekend, as I think they'll get another win. How do you think the ACC is going to be this year? It seems like this is going to be a much better season for the conference.
Yeah, I think I'm really encouraged by what I've seen so far from the ACC. The one down thing is, you know, this week they had chances to pick up some really big non-conference wins and just came up short. You know, Michigan or Wake Forest was playing up in Michigan and Detroit, and they almost had a chance to beat the number six team in the country in Michigan, and, you know, kind of faded away down the stretch there in overtime. So that was a missed opportunity. Florida State had the defending national champions in Florida on the ropes. That would have been a huge win for the conference. They did get Louisville. Louisville looked very comfortable against Kentucky. I'm not sure what this Kentucky team is going to look like yet, but Louisville looks like the real deal. So there's a lot of depth, and, you know, we'll talk about it. Virginia Tech down in Blacksburg looks like they have a really solid team this year. They were my sleeper coming into the year. I kept saying, like, I think this team is going to be in the NCAA tournament conversation at the end of the year, and I think we're kind of seeing that bear out now. Obviously, a long way to go, but obviously Neo is a fantastic player, but I think they really have a good core around them, and Mike Young's always been one of my favorite coaches in the conference. So between that, NC State, Virginia, North Carolina's looked incredible. You're going to have a really good ACC this year, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, this Commonwealth Cup's going to be very interesting in football and in basketball. Football, it seems like there's going to be a lot on the line for Virginia, and for basketball, it's going to be seeding for the ACC tournament. Preston, really appreciate you taking the time to join us today.
Yeah, man, anytime, Adam. Be a good one this week down in Durham.
Absolutely. That is our buddy Preston Willett. You can check out everything that he does on social media. Check out the podcast, Who's On the Podcast, and he's a writer for the Sabre as well. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back on The Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on the new Sports Radio 910, The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for VCU basketball. And there was a great crowd at the Siegel Center as the Rams have a sellout streak once again. They are 2-1, 2-0 at home, and both games at the Stew have been sold out. It was VCU 78, St. Peter's 61. Great crowd at the game last night as VCU forced 14 turnovers. They blocked 5 shots, and they got out in transition. 5 Rams scored in double figures, and they also shot 35 free throws in the contest, connecting on 74% of them. That was great to see, as they had struggles at the free throw line in the loss to Utah State. Next up, the Rams hit the road for a Monday night matchup at NC State. Monday night, 7 p.m. in Raleigh, right here on The Fan. Michael Phillips and myself will be making the trip So if you don't want to watch the game on the ACC network, because maybe you have YouTube TV, tune in for the radio coverage here on 910 The Fan, starting at 6:15 and going through the postgame as well with Robbie Robinson and Rodney Ashby. So Rams hit the road for a matchup against NC State. It will be Coach Phil Martelli Jr. against former VCU head coach Will Wade. Every day on AWOD Radio is game day. We close the show by spotlighting the biggest sporting event of the night on The Fan.
Every day on AWOD Radio is game day. Home of the biggest sports fans in town at 910 The Fan. We'll spotlight the best sporting event of the day here on
game day. Yeah, right back and I'm here. I got the whole team in here now. It's feeling like game day and it's game day. We are the underdogs of the year. We ranking number one on the list. We put in overtime, so we ready for overtime if the clock ever hits. Game day. Game day.
All right, Jeremy, so we do have a local college football game tonight from Norfolk. ODU 6-3 battling inside the Sun Belt against Troy in a key conference matchup. That will be tonight on ESPN 7:30 for some Thursday night football. But I think the big matchup everyone will be tuning into will be the NFL on Amazon Prime to begin week 11 of the National Football League with the Jets at the Patriots. And Jay Money, I want to get into the lab right here with you and cook up a little bit of a parlay.
All right.
For this Thursday night game. I think we start with anytime touchdown. Who do you like anytime touchdown in this game? I better be a Patriot, because I'm not sure the Jets will end up scoring a touchdown in this game.
Yeah, this one's a little tough. The Patriots are a little weird. They don't have Kayshon Boutte out. They have Kayshon Boutte out for this one, so that's a guy I like to score a touchdown a lot of times. But
Diggs is like their third down threat, but I just don't think he gets enough red zone targets.
Henry, maybe?
I'm into Hunter Henry. I have him on fantasy. So I like that. How do you feel about passing yards?
Passing yards? I mean, the Jets are going to be giving up a lot of yards. Their defense is not very good. They trade away Sauce Gardner. They lose Quinnen Williams, of course, at the deadline as well.
So let me ask you, do you like Drake May over 300?
300's way too many yards.
Well, I know. That's how we get the juice, baby. All right, how about we drop it down to 250?
I like 250. I like 250.
250 for Drake May. Stub, we're cooking up a parlay if you want to chime in here. Thursday night football. Are we on the same page that the Jets will give up a lot of points? They probably won't do much offensively. And it'll be a blowout by the time we get to the fourth quarter?
I'm thinking that, which is why that passing yards number scares me a little bit, because they might just stop passing at halftime.
Yeah. But 250 is not a. They could get 250 maybe even in the first half.
They could do that.
Or get close to it, at least like 150. Stub, anything you want to cook up for this one? Here, turn on Stub's mic.
Can I bet on over 1.5 turnovers from the Jets?
Ooh. I don't know if we could get that on a same game parlay, but I could see that happening. I mean, I have been cashing in on my Tua interception bets.
I think Fields has like a fumble a game at this point. He has no interceptions, but yeah. I cannot hold on to that thing.
How about a Kyle Williams over on his yards? He had a huge game last week, and with a lot of the wide receivers out, he's kind of stepped up as a every down wide receiver for them.
I don't hate that. What are you seeing the line at right now?
Right now, I'm looking at 20 yards, over 20.
For the game?
For the game.
I like that.
Also, I like Hunter Henry on the anytime touchdown.
Yeah, you're in on that too. Yeah. I think he will get the targets in the red zone. How many points are we thinking that the New England Patriots will score in this one? I think that's going to be the third leg of this parlay.
Somewhere around 30? Just about?
Yeah. I would probably go... All right, I would go over 31, maybe.
Over 31, I like that.
Have the Jets been getting, like, super scored on? I need to double-check their...
No, I mean, their defense is kind of, like, flying around, but they give up explosive plays, right. It feels like. And then when your offense does absolutely nothing, like, nothing, right? Well, what was it the game the other day? Was it the Panthers one where the Jets... they're on this win streak, but... The Panthers game, I'm pretty sure they had like 210 yards total for the entire game in that one. So
the Bills and the Bucks didn't pass 31, so I'd be worried about the Patriots doing it.
The Browns got to 27 against them.
Yeah, huh. Yeah, that's what I'm looking at in this. And Cincinnati, right? Cincinnati scored 38 and somehow still lost that game here. So, yeah, I'm going to go over in the points as well. Let's go over 31.5 for New England. So that's the three legs that I've got right here, plus 357. Not terrible. Do we want to add one more leg, though, in this one? Huh? What are you thinking?
There's got to be something out there. I think Hunter Henry's just going to have a big game overall. You look at either his over for receptions or for yardage.
You want to go over in his yardage as well?
Yeah, I'm big on Hunter Henry today. I think he's going to have
a big
day.
Is 50 too much for him?
50? I see the line at 38.5.
All right. So let's go over that. Let's go over 38.5. Lock that in.
All right.
$10 to win 40. This is not juicy enough for me.
I've got
plus 750. It needs to be $10 to win a new car. You know what I mean, Stubb?
Oh, you want one of
Come
those?
Come on. I want All one right. of those.
So you cannot do the turnover thing? Is that not an option?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what sports book you have.
I don't know.
Mine doesn't
here.
Let me get to exact
turnovers.
Does it
really
turnovers.
Bet on turnovers?
Yeah.
Whatever. I don't know. Bet on like a Justin Fields touchdown.
You could do that.
Actually, that's not terrible because I could see him running it in.
That's all he does successfully.
Yeah. All right, we can add that. I mean, are you against that, Jam Money?
Not at all. I like that a lot, actually.
Trying to get your new car.
Yeah. I mean,
you really want to juice it up? Put a Kyle Williams touchdown in there as well. We're already betting on his over yards. Why not? Why not
you know
juice
what?
It up a little
there
more?
There we go. Now we're up to $1,000. This is what I'm talking about. Juice me up because this is going to be a blowout. I need a reason to watch in the fourth quarter. I need it to be the game is completely over. The Patriots are at the one. Everyone's like, oh, they're going to kneel it. And all of a sudden, Kyle Williams gets in. And we hit our parlay. And we're getting free breakfast for a month. Stubb, really appreciate you helping out and all the stuff that you've done on AWOD Radio. Tomorrow, we will bid you adieu. Jay Money taking over full-time on the board for AWOD Radio starting next week. Grant Polson and Danny Ruye drive you home. They are live from Washington, D.C. here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. We'll be live from River City Roll tomorrow. I will be on Saturday morning right here on 910 The Fan previewing this Commanders game that you will have to wake up early for. Sunday morning, we have the broadcast for you here, 9:30 a.m. kickoff on The Fan.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.